administrations. The ACLU PHR investigation, based on more than 10,000 pages of documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, reveals the extent to which ICE responds to hunger strikers not by improving conditions in accordance with prisoners' demands, but by carrying out punitive treatments including force feeding, forced hydration, and forced urinary catheterization, among other methods. ICE's horrifying response to peaceful hunger strikes, which are free speech protected by the First Amendment, with coercion and violence, continues to expose the cruelty of our immigration detention system. Anicio Co., senior staff attorney with the ACLU's National Prison Project and report co-author, said recently in a statement, adding, "It's past time to hold this inhumane practice and ultimately to shut down the ICE detention machine." "Respect for patient autonomy is at the heart of medicine," said Dr. Parveen Parmar, a PHR medical expert and associate professor of clinical emergency medicine at the University of Southern California, adding, "Force feeding is not only a violation of an individual's human rights, but a violation of the oath each of us take as physicians to respect the rights of those entrusted to our care." The World Medical Association, the American Medical Association, and Physicians for Human Rights have unequivocally stated that force feeding is in violation of medical ethics, Parmar continued. "It is high time that ICE and the immigration justice system align with the medical community and outlaw this horrific, painful, and destructive practice in all detention settings." Gianna Naples Mitchell, a research advisor at PHR and co-author of the ACLU PHR report on hunger strikes in IC detention, noted that under international law, force feeding constitutes cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment and can rise to the level of torture, violating multiple international human rights treaties. Mitchell noted this abhorrent practice is often not possible without the participation or complicity of health professionals. Although this chilling footage depicts former President Trump's Department of Homeland Security, force feeding continues today under the Biden administration. President Biden should seize the opportunity to change course by adopting a new directive on hunger strikes and addressing the underlying cause of so many hunger strikes, an abusive immigration detention system. Meanwhile, Common Dreams reported over 100 rights organizations recently pressured Joe Biden to end mass detention of immigrants, describing the practice as inhumane, unjust, unnecessary, and fiscally responsible. "We urge you to recognize that our shared values of humanity and compassion require the dismantling of our system of mass immigrant detention," 114 groups wrote in a letter to Biden. "In particular, we urge you to support the closure of Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention sites, prevent and development of new detention sites or expansion of existing ones, and seek reduced funding for immigration detention for Congress," the letter added. While emphasizing that inhuman conditions and treatment are rife across the immigrant detention system, the organizations highlighted some examples of abuse documented at immigration and customs enforcement facilities across the country. At Baker County Detention Center in Florida, people have been pepper sprayed while already pinned down or confined and targeted with anti-black racial slurs and harassment, the letter states. Women at Baker have endured humiliation, such as being denied sanitary sites and clean clothes, forcing them to sleep in soaked sheets. The letter adds that at the Stewart Detention Center in Georgia, women have been forced to engage in sexual contact with a staff member, blocked from leaving medical exam rooms, and forced or coerced into giving access to intimate parts without medical justification. "Now is the time for principal leadership following the long-awaited court ruling lifting the Title 42 public health expulsion order," the groups asserted, adding, "As your administration stands up processing of individuals, we urge you to not fall back on harmful, arbitrary, and unnecessary detention in response to people seeking protection, the letter added. The lead attorney for the ACLU's challenge to Title 42 called the federal court decision striking it down a huge victory that literally has life and death stakes. Last week also saw a Senate hearing and report confirming the systematic medical abuse of migrant women in ICE detention, as well as former President Donald Trump announcing that he is running again in 2024. Trump's administration was globally condemned for its unethical, ineffective, and inhuman policies, particularly forcibly separating migrant families. Critics have urged that despite his campaign promises, Biden looks a lot like Trump on border issues, especially on Title 42. Biden positioned himself as a clear counterpoint to Trump's cruelty, but instead, Biden is carrying on business as usual, breaking promises and tearing apart communities, declared Estera Gendarari, advocacy director at Detention Watch Network, one of the groups behind the new letter. She argued it is urgent for Biden to act boldly to rebuke white supremacy by protecting and welcoming immigrants in the next 2 years of his administration. Detention is inhumane, morally and financially costly, and completely unnecessary. Andrea Carmacco, policy director at Freedom for Immigrants, similarly stressed that immigration detention is animated by racism, xenophobia, and hate, the very forces Biden vowed to fight against upon taking the White House. Instead, Biden has overseen a dramatic increase in the use of immigration detention since taking office. This administration has utterly failed our communities who continue to be subject to abhorrent human rights abuses inside detention. It's clear that immigration detention is beyond the reach of reform, which is why we demand Biden close detention centers and free people back to the love and safety of their communities. The letter points out that while the whole system is problematic, private prison companies are some of the biggest beneficiaries of mass immigrant detention and have pocketed hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars from ICE contracts, many of which include wasteful contract terms. Just as you look, bold action to phase out the Department of Justice private prison contracts, we urge you to act decisively on immigrant detention sites, the vast majority of which are run by private prison companies, as a first step towards ending mass immigration incarceration, the groups wrote, adding, "You have voiced a desire to do just that, and it is not too late." Continuing to invest billions of dollars in immigration jails and detention centers in the U.S. is fiscally irresponsible and deprives newcomers arriving to the U.S. of dignity and access to due process. The letter argues, "We urge you to instead invest taxpayer dollars in our communities by supporting nonprofit organizations providing community-based support services to those navigating the immigration court system." According to Serena Shabaya, executive director at the National Immigration Project, another letter signatory, people navigating their immigration cases should be able to do so alongside their families and communities, not behind bars or while being surveilled by ICE. Heidi Altman Group's National Immigrant Justice Center not only signed the letter, but also regularly files civil rights complaints on behalf of clients who endure solitary confinement, medical negligence, and blatant harassment and abuse in ICE detention on a daily basis, she said. The Biden administration can no longer continue to blindly operate a system that is inherently cruel. The time to act is now.
This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Back to Reality. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Asma, your host. Here with, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Abu Zahra.
Assalamu
alaikum wa salam. Both of you, welcome to your program. And it's a pleasure to have you in here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum. It's nice to be here again. I'm a Hausa student right at the moment. I'm in my ninth year. And before this, I was in life sciences. So I've got a taster of quite a few things, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. And I'm really honored to be here at this episode. My name is Bita and I'm a medical student.
Today we're going to talk about a situation which actually happens to all of us, maybe on a daily basis, sometimes more than that, because depending on the people around you, you might face too much of difficulties. And then there are some people who might dagger you with some words that get directly into the core of your heart, break your heart, and then crush you like a grape, and then expect you to forgive them.
Wow.
Actually, myself, personally, I've never gone through this experience, unfortunately.
How come?
I've never been heartbroken or something at all. You know, It was always easy to go through this because the way I look at people is like, okay, you are a passenger. You are someone who will pass my life and then go your road, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like you are going to stay forever here in my life, in the story of my life. So,
what if they are not passengers?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, a best friend. I mean, your siblings. I mean, your relatives, your close friends.
Even though you're passengers, you know, I'm the one who will pass their lives, you know. Sometimes you are the one who will pass their other people's lives. And some other times there are people who will come to your story of life and then they will go out of that.
So you think of yourself as a pearl in a shell. You have been restricted to that shell and nobody there is allowed to get into that.
No, it's not like that. I'm telling you that I don't care that much.
Oh, so this is the point. You don't care.
I'm not ignorant at all. You know, maybe I'm really sensitive to other people's behavior and sometimes I really get sad or disappointed or something like that from other people's behavior. But you know, I kind of am getting used to it that, okay, you are human and human is to err and you have some mistakes, you have some defects in your personalities. And I accept all of that and I accept the fact that maybe one day you will break my heart. And despite
so
all
your
these
perspective
facts,
is so nice. I'll come back to you.
Thank
let's
you.
Let's have Brother Abu Zahra's idea.
This is the sister who was talking about me being too ideal.
Yeah, exactly. So, has it ever happened to you? Of course it has happened.
Of course it happened.
How is your reaction?
Were you talking about the grape? I don't know if I've been hurt in such a bad way where, you know, maybe I have. And
see,
we do
not understand, but it happens. Sometimes I say something unconsciously without even actually wishing that to happen, but I may say something that might someone get to their heart.
Definitely. And it's very difficult. I think forgiving is one of the hardest traits that a person can develop in themselves, to let go easily, right? Sometimes we're even ready to forgive, but that person has to come and ask for forgiveness, you know?
That's
like
true.
We're not ready to let go. It's one of those things that it's hard to let go someone else's mistakes. We're even ready to let go, but they have to come and, you know, humble themselves in front of us, right? That's how hard it is to let go, that you feel like they need to do something for you to let go. And it's definitely difficult, and that's one of the beautiful traits that Allah prides himself in. He's ghaffar, he's very forgiving. The Prophet was a prophet of mercy.
Exactly.
And it's not a small thing. This is one of the things that makes you wonder about the Prophet. You know, people did so much evil to them, but they were still forgiving.
Yeah.
And this is how I try to get over it, you know. I always tell myself that, look, if somebody's wronged me, however badly they've wronged me, firstly, they might not have done it intentionally. Secondly, I remind myself that, look, every time I make mistakes, I ask Allah for forgiveness, I expect Him to forgive me. Then why should I not expect myself to forgive others?
Yeah.
And
now,
in those bitter times when I'm really annoyed at somebody, this thought calms me down a lot. It really makes me feel like, you know what? It's true. Just let go. If I expect Allah to forgive me, just let go. You know, forgive that person.
Yeah, that is very true. So now that we've just opened up the story, let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you to our listeners for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. Here, Sister Bita and Brother Abu Zahra are helping me with the topic, which is a little bit of difficult to practice, that is forgiving. In our religion, we have too much of narrations asking us to be kind. And in the Holy Book of Quran, we have that you would never get into salvation unless you give away whatever you love. And I guess the love of myself is the thing also that I could give away in order to forgive people. And that is going to be a step toward salvation, which is very difficult because I usually don't like to talk ideal because, you know what, we should come to Earth and talk pretty realistic. I know that
you're not mentioning me, right?
As a human being, it is very difficult to live among human beings, other human beings who are having some interactions with you, and they might cause you some troubles, and chances those troubles might turn your life upside down because some people in some turns of your life would do you some wrongs that will never be healed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happens. And we've seen it a lot. We've read so much of books. Yeah. We've watched too much of movies. And if it's not just that, we have been into many occasions in our real life. So we know that it happens.
You know, yeah, it happens actually every day. In everyday life, even there are people that just hurt you or something. But I want to tell you a fact about human beings. Human beings are like, they forget good, bad things in the past. You know, you tend to forget any bad, actually, accidents in the past and just remembering the good things about the past, you know. And I have evidence. For example,
What if I don't forget?
No, I think one
of the hardest things to forget is the evil somebody's done to you.
No, because, for example, if you go, for example, talk to the older generation, they're like, okay, when I was younger, everything was so beautiful and we were just living so friendly. It's not like that they were living friendly or something. It's the fact that they forget the bad things about the past. You know, this is, I think,
now you're actually, Vita, there's a problem in here. You're talking about some trivial issues that happened. For example, there was a rainy day in which I didn't have any money. Then, okay, when time comes up and then I have a good situation in my life, I go further, I develop in my career or whatever, then I would forget that. But if, as a friend, I trust you so much, then I tell you a secret and then after a while, you show me the tables turn and then you show me your true face. So I would never forget that.
You know,
and you can even forgive sometimes, but to forget that happened.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, you can even, you can go back to good relations with the person. You can love the person, but you will not, you won't forget that this happened.
Definitely.
Right? It's too bitter. It leaves a scar in you, right?
Yeah.
So I've gone through different scenarios that if you ask me right now the details, I can tell you all the details about that event.
Yeah.
All the details, my own feelings, what was happening, you know? And it's like, I've gone past it, right? If I meet that person, I'll be completely fine with them. Right? Mm-hmm. But I can't forget exactly what happened.
So what should we do to heal this scar?
Now you should tell us because you were the one who said, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
How?
Really.
How is it? Because teach me how not to care.
You know, it's the way I'm looking about at other people, you know. The value of that person is something that I have to accept from that person. You know, for example, I expect you to be my friend. Mm-hmm. Is this expectation, you know, according to what? You know, for example, you are a person who cannot be my friend.
So you mean I have a credit in your heart and mind?
Yeah, exactly. So according to this credit, I have to judge you, I have to be mad at you,
and I have to
forgive you even, you know? For example, sometimes there is a friend, there is a family that you don't expect that person to do something. And in this situation, yes, it's harder to forgive, it's harder to forget. And
yeah,
also,
of course.
Sometimes it comes to revenge, you know? You know, in this scar, because you cannot heal it, you want to actually make the same scar on that person. Mm-hmm. Because there is no way to heal your scar, your own scar. And this revenge actually did happen to me. I wanted to actually take revenge from that person.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like, okay, let's think about after this revenge. So what? What will you do?
You're not going to be eased up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to appease you. Revenge is not going to alleviate
you. And I thought deeper, and I understood that that person was not the person who was just making the whole mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of it too.
Now, brother,
that's a good point. In order to get over something, especially when somebody wrongs, it's not a bad idea to look at your own role in that, right? Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
So one of the ways to get by it is just not care. Right, it's a good strategy. I won't disagree. Like, you couldn't care less.
But
you know,
this
person isn't important. When that person isn't important, it's not very difficult. But when they're important, let's say it's your own parents, your spouse, your siblings, or your best friend, then it's very difficult to forget. Then you have to look for another strategy, because you can't be like, I don't care. Of course, I do care. You know, they're very close to me. Then you can think about, for example, maybe I'm part of the fault.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And when you think about that, then you're not going to be angry at yourself. So this is going to appease your feeling of anger against that person will appease.
Now, I not only hate that person, I hate myself as well.
No, but that doesn't happen, right? You end up forgiving them, becoming more lenient to them because you're being lenient to yourself as well. And I think bigger than that is to think bigger and be like, you know what? I want to be the bigger person. I want to be the one to forgive, you know?
Now, let's go for a short break, after which we'll pursue our discussion. Welcome back. This is Back to Reality. We're talking about forgiving other people who's done us wrong. We came to the conclusion that it's sometimes good not to care, but when it comes to important people in our life, it's actually very difficult. It's a drudgery not to care. And also, we came to the conclusion that if we think properly, we also have had a role in the thing that happens. So this way, maybe we're going to be appeased and not accusing that person only of the thing that has happened. Still, I think it's pretty difficult because then I would hate myself as well. Now, you, brother, said that I expect God to forgive me whenever I do any sin. Therefore, I use that as strategy in order to apply it myself.
I think it's a good way of, you see, like we've mentioned many times, that our actions are a result of our thinking, right? Forgiving is an action, right? How can I make forgiving easier for myself?
Mm-hmm.
If I sort out at the level of thinking, then this action will come out better. If I'm at the level of thinking, I come to realize that Allah forgives me whenever I ask for forgiveness. And I disobey Allah probably every hour, probably one I commit one sin, right? And I expect Allah to forgive me without anything in return, right? Just, oh Allah, please forgive me, and I expect that. Well, if this other person has wronged me, then I should also do the same.
You know what? There's a thing I would like to say in this issue, regarding this issue. Well, when I do something wrong to God, I'm so trivial of a thing compared to God.
Yeah, so this is what I want to say, that the easiest way to make forgiveness easy for us is that if we grow as a human being, and this is something I had learned when I was before I was getting married, and I was looking at tips for having a healthy marriage, and I remember this tip, and that was one of the best things that has helped me since then, and I've been married for a few years now,
mm-hmm.
And that was that, look, if you fill your heart with the love of Allah, if you're full from inside, you don't have expectations from others,
right?
Forgiving people becomes very easy now,
mm-hmm.
because they hurt you. Well, it's okay. I forgive you. Because you're full now. Things don't penetrate your heart. When they hurt you, it's a very surface hurting now.
That needs too much of practice and growth.
Of course. And we want to grow as human beings. That's why we're sitting here and discussing these things. Because we want to think about how can we grow as human beings, right? the world ain't going to change. We have to change.
At the end of the day, when we all die, people would not remember who we definitely were, but they would remember how they felt about us. So we should be very cautious and careful about every single action we take in front of other people, every single thing we say. And we must make sure that whatever we do in this world has got a reaction. So do not think that if you do something wrong to someone, don't go for asking forgiveness. It's going to be left just like this. No, one day you're going to pay for whatever you've done. So thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the Ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again
Join us in this journey IRIB English Radio Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
After repeated failed attempts, NASA has eventually launched this moon rocket on its debut flight. NASA's next-generation moon rocket blasted off from Florida, marking the start of the space agency's new program dubbed Artemis. An uncrewed Orion spaceship is fixed to the top of the 32-story tall Space Launch System rocket. It will be separated for a 25-day voyage around the moon and back without astronauts aboard. It was the third time after two previous launch attempts were cancelled for technical reasons. If the mission succeeds, a crewed Artemis II will orbit around the moon but not land on the surface in 2024. The third Artemis mission, scheduled for 2025, will be the first to put astronauts on the moon since Apollo's mission about 5 decades ago.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran has hosted an international student scientific contest dubbed Noor or Light. The annual event seeks to promote science among children and scout for child prodigies. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
They have only 1 minute to present a scientific idea in their homemade clips. Over 1,300 teenage science enthusiasts from 19 countries participated in Iran's Noor competition, a scientific contest for school students. The fifth edition of the event was themed with optical illusion and mathematical modeling. The top 100 videos were awarded during this closing ceremony in Tehran.
My work is titled The Bouncing Ball. We painted a long oval and a shadow under it. When we film it from a certain angle, it takes the shape of a levitating ball.
Our work is about an optical illusion. We created a set of conjoining cylinders that appear to change shape in the mirror. The idea was first created by a Japanese engineer in 2016.
The most creative videos win the prize. They should be both educational and mind-blowing, like this floating Rubik's Cube, which appears to be levitating, but then turns out to be just an origami work.
We have two levels of the competition. One is the kind of general competition for the crowd, and many students can contribute on that, in that. And we have other level, which is for elites. And in that level, we have more sophisticated competition between elite.
Organizers say participants in Noor contests are not supposed to make breakthroughs. The main goal, they say, is to engage them in science and let them experience the excitement of scientific experiments.
Try to make these teenagers learn how they can think about science for the welfare of human beings and how they can apply it for them.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation is the organizer of this scientific event. The foundation also holds the biennial Mustafa Prize, which awards cash prizes to top scientists from across the Muslim world, whose accomplishments contribute to the welfare of human beings.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation, as the organizer of Noor competition, says prodigies are everywhere. They just need to be discovered. It says this contest is a platform that's specially designed to scout for teenage minds and give them a chance to shine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. Aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hongying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world. Iran is the land of saffron, and the red gold has earned the country a fortune throughout the centuries. Now Iran's city of Torbat Haydariya has hosted a saffron photography festival as a means to introduce the lucrative product to the world. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Like gold, it is weighed in shekels, not in kilos. And that's why saffron is called the red gold, reflecting how precious it is economically. Torbat Haydariya in northeast Iran is the hub of saffron cultivation in the country, producing an average of 20 million tons of the crop each year. Now the city hosts the Festival of Saffron Photography every year to introduce Iran as the land of saffron and how these hard-working farmers produce the strategic crop.
Photographers present in this festival should use their artistry to shed light on different stages of saffron harvest all the way to the final product. Everyone knows Iranian saffron, but perhaps few know how it's produced. So this festival highlights this issue using photography.
Photography is a universal language that needs no translation, so their photos can better introduce this strategic plan to the world from unique angles.
This year, Iran exported roughly 300 tons of saffron, generating more than $350 million in income, according to the data provided by the Ministry of Agriculture. Experts believe Iran could have a much higher share of the global trade of saffron if it pays better attention to branding and marketing of the product.
Due to favorable weather conditions, Iranian saffron is unique in the world, but unfortunately, in many countries, it's smuggled in bulk and is packaged under foreign brands and then sold at higher prices. If we can brand it inside Iran, then we can export it more efficiently.
The young farm owner says his saffron is exported to Europe and the Middle East, despite the restrictions caused by U.S. sanctions on Iran. But more than the U.S. measures, he's concerned about the impact of climate change on saffron cultivation, warning of what he calls saffron immigration from his city if authorities remain idle.
Unfortunately, saffron is gradually leaving our region and moving to western parts of Iran. This is due to changes in weather conditions and declining rainfall here. If the government helps farmers with modification of planting patterns, we can stop this disaster.
Over the past 2 years, Iran has expanded its cultivation area for saffron to 115,000 hectares, nearly 20 times more than the entire worldwide land dedicated to the crop. While the Iranian red gold is mainly cultivated in the northeastern Khorasan province, other parts of the country, including Khuzestan and Chaharmahal Bakhtiari, are also fertile for saffron farming.
For centuries, saffron has been a key word in Iran's economy, and still is today. Now, Saffron Photography Festival says many know Iran by its red gold, but through the photos shot here, they will get a glimpse of the mesmerizing saffron farms in Iran and how this amazing crop is produced. Yusuf Jalali from the saffron farms in the suburbs of Turbat Haydariye.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and also our brothers from Sevier International School. Welcome Fawad Haider and Salamun Alaikum.
Salam, thank you, sir.
Are you
How
good?
Are you?
Alhamdulillah, yes. Thank you so much. And brother Ali Nasser?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Great, that's great. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much once again for joining us. So, brother Fawad and Ali Nasser, today inshallah, we will be working on verses 117 and also 118 of Surah Al-Baqarah. We'll have a short explanation, messages, and also we'll have the practical tajweed rules, okay, here. The important tajweed rules of these two verses will be, inshallah, mentioned. I really recommend our brothers and sisters who are listening to us, please stay with us till the end of this session and make sure, inshallah, you repeat and practice the rules when we mention, inshallah. So, before we start, let's everyone listen to the recitation of these two verses and then we'll continue.
The
Great. Now it's time for us, okay, to, inshallah, read and practice and recite. I will be reciting. Make sure you repeat, inshallah. Listen carefully and repeat, okay? Brothers and sisters also, turn to page 18 of Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 117 and 118. So, ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بديع السماوات والأرض.
بديع السماوات والأرض
وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون
وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون
وقال الذين لا يعلمون لولا يكلمنا الله أو تأتينا آية
وقال الذين لا يعلمون لولا يكلمنا الله أو تأتينا آية
كذلك قال الذين من قبلهم مثل قولهم
كذلك قال الذين من قبلهم مثل قولهم
تشابهت
قلوبهم
قد بينا الآيات لقوم يوقنون
قد بينا الآيات لقوم يوقنون
Thank you so much. Allah Almighty bless you, inshallah. بديع السماوات والأرض. It says that the originator of the heavens and the earth is Allah Almighty, right?
Yes.
Yeah. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا And when he decides, when he intends on a matter, on something, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ Okay? He just says to it, be, and it is. It exists. A hadith says from Imam Baqir alayhi salam also, that he says that Allah Almighty doesn't need to say it even. Look, when he just intends, it's this. It's created. If he intends the sky's created. Okay? There's no need even for a single word, single phrase for Allah Almighty to say. Okay? But look at us. God forbid. Okay? So, we sometimes, kind of human beings, sometimes believes that he is God. While he can even cannot create a single creation of Allah Almighty. Okay? Pharaoh was saying, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Okay. What happened to him? Look, you know this story. So guys, Badi'u al-Samad, Badi'u, it means originator, someone who doesn't have a pre-plan, like doesn't have a template of something to create. Okay? But Allah Almighty is someone who doesn't need a pre-plan, pre-template, for example. So like he should copy it, okay? The map of the world or the way to create the world. Okay, he doesn't need. So he originates himself. So when someone creates this, it means he has knowledge also. He has wisdom also. He has, power also. So we prove the power, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom of Allah Almighty. Okay? Now, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ لَوْلَا يُكَلِّمُنَ اللَّهُ أَوْ تَأْتِينَ آيَةٌ There are people, okay, those who don't know the reality about Allah Almighty, okay, they say that Allah Almighty needs to prove, okay, that he exists. Allah Almighty has already proved. Huh? And also Allah Almighty says, this is the way those people who are jahil. Look, قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ This is the people who believe in God, the Jewish people, the Christians, okay, they believed, but they were also saying that Allah Almighty should prove it to us, okay? And also there are people who are illiterate, they also the same thing, okay? Allah Almighty says tashabahat qulubum, they are the same. Qad bayyana al-ayat, we have already proven it, okay? لقومي يقينون, those who believe, those who have certain belief, it's like Muslims, alhamdulillah. So guys, for more explanation, inshallah, refer to the tafasir, to their interpretations, inshallah, okay? And make sure, inshallah, you do it.
قرآني نبض حياتي, قرآني طهر ذاتي, قرآني عصمة أمري, قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, now the important tajweed rules, we'll have a short explanation about them, inshallah, the important rules, then inshallah we'll finish this session. Badi'u samawati wal ard. Is there any important one? I mean, no difficult one, yes? Yeah, only the pronunciation of ayn, the pronunciation of the letter ra and dad. Samawat. Look, on the top of waw, you have a baby alif, which is called dagger alif, and you have to pronounce it as alif. Samawat. All right. On the top of meme as well, you have a baby alif, right? وَإِذَا قَضَى قَضَى, right? Make sure the pronunciation of dot is, sometimes some of the reciters, okay, they pronounce it a bit differently. Like, قَضَى قَضَى. Look, a kind of vibrating sound also it has. But sometimes it has like a double dal. قَضَى قَضَى. But the one which is close to a vibrating sound, that's more popular, okay? Yes, قَضَى قَضَى, this way. فَإِنَّمَا نُنْ إِنَّمَا نُنْ مُشَدَّد, make sure you merge them. إِذْقَامْ مِثْلَيْن يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus فَا
إِخْفَى
إِخْفَى كُنْ فَيَكُنْ, hide the sound of نُنْ. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَوْلَا sorry, لا يعلمون لولا يكلمنا الله. There is one rule. يكلمنا الله. Allah starts with Hamzatul Wasl, and the word Allah, sorry, starts with Hamzatul Wasl, and before Hamzatul Wasl we have Alif Mad. يكلمنا الله. So the rule says that you skip Hamzatul Wasl also, you skip the long vowel also, short vowel. يكلمنا, and join it to the word Allah. يكلمنا الله, not نا الله, okay? That's the one. أو تأتينا آية. تأتينا ألف مات. آية starts with حمزة. So the مات is not واجب. واجب. It's not. It's جائز.
جائز منفصل.
منفصل. Why? Because the مات and also the حمزة, both are in different words, not the same words. Two different words.
Yeah.
And on the top of ayah, you see that you have a qala, which says that it's better to stop, right? Better to stop.
Yes.
And I told you a word to remember, waqf. Yes. And next one, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ نُن سَاكِن plus qaf says that ikhfa. But ikhfa should be applied here, and it means that you should apply the rule ikhfa in a way that the listener kind of should understand that the letter qaf is there, okay?
Yeah.
Who is knocking on the door? The letter qaf. مِن قَبْلِهِمْ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ.
Is there a qalqala here?
مِن قَبْلِهِمْ? Yeah, yeah. Qa-ba-ba. It's
qalqala. Not for qaf?
No. Qaf is not sakin. Ba is sakin. قَبْلِهِمْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ. Okay, there you have to merge the غَمْثْلَي. Alright, قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ, right, in the غَمْثْلَي. And قَوْلِهِمْ, on the top of قَوْلِهِمْ there is a baby meme also. Yeah?
Yes.
Fallen meme. So that meme is different from that other meme, okay, which is stretched down, okay. That meme talks about إِقْلَاب rule. But this meme talks about a stopping sign. It is. What does it say? Meme. Remember the word lazim.
Uh-huh.
It means you should stop here.
Oh.
Ah, yes. You should stop here. قولهم تشابهت قلوبهم. The waqf sign says that it's better to stop. قد بينا الآيات. قد قلقل. بينا الآيات لقوم يوقنون. تنوين plus ya. So, simple. Now, everyone, let's listen to these two verses, okay, with Tajweed rules. Now that you have learned, it's going to be, inshallah, so beneficial. Let's listen, everyone. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. That was a nice recitation. Now, alhamdulillah, you've learned these two verses with Tajweed rules. And thanks so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us in this session. Inshallah, we'll stay with us, please. We'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. Do you have any questions?
No.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio.